as it landed safely in northern Japan. Japan's public broadcaster said that the flight was carrying about 200 people. No injuries were reported. On Wall Street, NASDAQ is up by 89 points. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. It's an exciting broadcast as I see it. You may not get as excited about it as I do, but I'm passionate about the study of the Word, the reading of the Word, the inculcation of the Word of God in our hearts. In fact, when you study the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and I'll just paraphrase, it says we're to stay right in line with the law of God, the Word of God, turning not to the left, not to the right, and then our way will be made prosperous. The word prosperous means to be successful in our journey for the Lord. As we stay in the Word, study the Word, and as I call it, cutting the words down the line, not deviating, not adding to, not deducting, reducing from, but staying right in the Word of God. So I challenge you, study the Word, know the Word, allow the Word of God to permeate our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, part of the signs that we see in the last days, and you read in your leisure, Matthew 24, the first 10, 11, 12 verses in particular. All of the chapter 24 and 25 is prophetic. All of chapter 21 of the Gospel of Luke, all of Mark chapter 13, all prophetic, eschatologically prophetic, talking about the signs of the last days. Read those, study those, get familiar with them, and then you watch, as you watch through the prism of the Word of God, what is taking place in the world. But one of the major things that we see as signs that the world will hate the Christian. Jesus, talking about that in the 15th chapter of the book of John, says this, and I'll read that for our edification. John chapter 15, verse 18 and verse 20. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. In verse 20, the scripture says, if they have persecuted you, they will also if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. We find today, ladies and gentlemen, one of the indicators, one of the major signs, signposts. By the way, that word sign in the scriptures, the word simeon, means road markers. You are out on the highway and it's night and it's sleeting, snowing, raining, misty, or foggy, and your headlights hit a sign that says, curve ahead. You know what to expect. Or bridge out. Or ice on the bridge. Or whatever the case may be. And so what we're watching today in prophecy, we're watching the simeons, the signs, the benchmark, the road markers as to where we are. And as we look at these road markers, as we look at the benchmarkers, as we look at the signs, we're seeing them coming faster and faster and faster with the wrap-up of this old age. And part of that is where Christians are hated. Here's a headline. Christian assaulted for reading the Bible aloud, and cops arrest him. You've not heard this on the socialist Marxist media. You've not heard this on the Communist Network News. But let me just simply read two paragraphs. An appeals court has delivered a body blow to Seattle's heckler's vote veto practices, in which police officers ordered a man standing on public property to quit speaking or leave because others objected to what he was saying. The panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ordered the case involving Matthew Minchek returned to the lower courts for an injunction against that leftist ideology. The dispute arose because the Christian speaker, the man, was on public property twice, during an abortion rally and during an LGBTQ fest, and was reading his Bible. He was abused by the crowds, physically assaulted, his Bible was destroyed, and he was threatened. But the police, instead of confronting those who actually were engaged in criminal activity, told the man to move somewhere else, then arrested him and took him into custody because he declined to move. The question is asked in this article, are most American governments illegally siding with the LGBTQ crowd over Christians in our nation? End quote. And I say, yes, they are. And it's one of the signs of the time. It's one of the prophetic indicators that we as Christians will be hated of all people. Jewish people will be hated of all people. In fact, that says very, very clearly in Matthew chapter 24, 9, 10, and 11. It says it very, very clearly. And ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that era. The point that I want us to understand is that we're watching biblical prophecy and the red heifer. We'll talk about the red heifer in just a moment. I want us to realize and recognize the truth of what is taking place and how, as Christians, we ought to have our heads up, understanding and realizing what is happening. Today we see Christians being persecuted and prosecuted. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ. Because we take a stand on the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus said, because the world hated me, it's going to hate you. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, in the world in which we're living. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, let's understand the very key to all biblical prophecy is Israel, the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye. Today, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, we're witnessing Jewish people being persecuted and prosecuted, even put to death. Why is that so? Simply because they're Jewish. And history records it. Now, you can study the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation and understand why. You can ask the question. I preached the message out of Revelation chapter 12 many, many, many times. Why the Jewish people are so hated. You know why? It's very clear in Revelation chapter 12. It's because it's out of Israel, it's out of the Jewish nation that Yeshua Messiah Jesus Christ was birthed. Satan hates Jesus. It's a battle between good and evil, but it's also a battle between the Savior and Satan being fought out through mankind. And the focus of the world at this very moment, ladies and gentlemen, the focus is on the Jewish people as a nation. They're being persecuted and prosecuted today. And I don't know if you understand where this is headed. I say this. I'm talking about where this is headed with the persecution, the open persecution against Jewish people today. Where is it headed? Some did not live in the 40s during the Holocaust. Some did. Some didn't. But you go back and study from about 1933 to about 1945, and you find the major event with Hitler trying to, quote, cleanse the nation, and his idea of cleansing the nation was to remove all Jewish people. About 6 million Jews, not counting the Gentiles, were murdered, executed, starved to death during the Holocaust. 6 million Jewish people. Ladies and gentlemen, they were slaughtered. And I believe we are on the we're looking at the shadow, the foreshadowing of that taking place today. I'm looking at a headline. Hundreds of anti-Israel pro-Hamas protesters swarm New York University and police plaza and at Police Plaza headquarters chanting, Zionists must go. Subtitle to that, anti-Israel protesters armed with flames and flares marched toward the New York Police Department headquarters late Monday night after the number of students arrested at the New York University reportedly rose to over 150. But listen, they arrested over 150. They released them immediately upon booking them. No fines, no jail time, no prosecution. They arrested them, signed them in. They signed on the guest register, I reckon, and released them. No charges being made against those that are threatening the Jewish students. This article says very quickly, Things have gotten so bad that the Jews, that any day now, I'm expecting to read reports of glass windows of Jewish storekeepers being smashed and shattered, yellow stars being once again affixed to the lapel of the hated Zionist. Lest you think I'm using hyperbole, last night in New York City, hundreds of rioters chanting, Gaza, 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 and the Zionists must go, the Zionists must go, as they stormed the local universities as well as the New York police headquarters, demanding the end of Israel. Notice now, demanding the end of Israel and extermination of the Jews from the Middle East. Suddenly, it's 1933, this writer says, all over again. It's time to pick sides, this writer says. Christians, I stand with the Zionists, is what the writer says. Christians, this is a challenge, and you need to hear it. Christians, don't just sit on the outside. Get in the game. Be very vocal. Our Savior is the King of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, and these are His chosen people caught in the crossfire. So stand for the Jews, stand for Israel, and be as much of a blessing to them as you can. We need to be salt and light in the world in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, America, taxpayers' money funding these colleges and universities are now openly persecuting and prosecuting Jewish students and even Jewish college professors. I have an article where a college professor was not allowed to go into his classroom simply because he's Jewish. Headline, University denies its own professor access to the campus just because he is Jewish. That's at Columbia University. Of course, you can't expect any better out of Columbia University, in my most humble opinion. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching this take place today. Open persecution. Open attacks against Jewish people just because they're Jewish. Very prestigious colleges and universities like Harvard and Yale and Brown University, Princeton, Columbia University have all openly embraced anti-Semitism, openly embracing the chant, the Israel must go, Israel must die, America, death to America. One writer said that America is the rottenest nation on the face of the globe. Well, you know, we need to gather up some money, buy him a ticket to send him wherever he wants to go and get him out of America. We're witnessing, I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, the Islamic jihadists in large, large corporations, businesses, and on campus stands where they stand up for the jihadists openly, where they're hostile against the Jewish students and faculty, but stand for the jihadists openly standing for them. Even in the U.S. House of Representatives, we had several representatives today representing the Islamic jihadists and not representing America. But ladies and gentlemen, one very, very serious element out of all of biblical prophecy, one very serious element, the little known element, is the recognizing and the understanding of the book of Numbers, chapter 19, not the 22 verses in chapter 19 in Numbers. The Word of God tells us about the red heifer and prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, the third temple will be rebuilt. In the third temple that will be rebuilt, it will be standing during the days of the tribulation, where the tribulation saints will go to worship, be martyred because of their faith. It will be the temple that Jesus will be seated in and ruling for 1,000 years in what's called the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Numbers chapter 19, there's a key element, listen carefully, there's a key element to the sacrificial system in the new temple, the third temple that shall be rebuilt, where the sacrificial system be reinstituted during the days of the millennial reign, the days of the tribulation, where there will be the sacrificial system reinstituted. There's a key element for that sacrificial system to be reinstituted in the new temple to be rebuilt. The third temple shall be rebuilt. I believe we have John on the line. John, go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Pastor Youngblood.
Hope you're doing well.
I am. I hope you as well. Now, what I've learned about the red heifer is that a fella here in the United States sent Israel three red heifers, and they have to be without blemish, and they have to be 3 years old, so they can sacrifice the red heifer for the blood atone. I'm not sure. And the ashes for the foundation where the temple was supposed to be built.
Well, John, I'm excited to hear you say that. Many Christians are not aware of that fact. Let me just refine it just a little bit, and then we'll go to our next caller. But, John, listen very carefully. That new temple shall be rebuilt. They have what they call the Temple Mount Movement in Jerusalem today, where they have already fabricated all of the priest garments. They've already fabricated, built, made all of the temple utensils. They have the priest in training, in waiting, that are being trained for the temple services to be carried out. They have the blueprints already done. They say the temple, new temple, third temple, can be rebuilt within 24 months or less. And it's going to have to take the cleansing, removal of the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim Islamic jihadist war room from the Temple Mount. It'll take that to be removed before the new temple can be rebuilt. And I believe, as I have alluded to a number of times, a Scud missile out of Iran will get off course and will clean that Temple Mount. I don't believe Israel will have to do it. I believe Iran will do it for them. And then the temple will be built. But there is a key element that must be in place, as you touched on. That is the red heifer. And that red heifer must be burned. Take the ashes mixed with water. It becomes a cleansing material for the temple and for the temple priest before they can ever have a temple service. And right now, as you touched on, a cattle farmer out of Texas sold 5 red heifers to the Jewish priest group, the Temple Mount Movement in Jerusalem. They've been investigating them now for almost 2 years to see if there's any blemish, to see if there's any color discoloration. It must be 100% red, no white hair, no black hair, no brown hair, all red hair. Must be perfect, without blemish, without spot. And by the way, most people do not realize that is a good symbol, a good indicator, a good type of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and his coming. They became the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So I'm excited when I see this taking place. But that's the only thing left, John. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the only thing left, that last piece of the puzzle, is to find that perfect, if you please, a red heifer that they can be ready to reinstitute the sacrificial system. And then it's, as I called it, it's Katie barred the door. It's yonder come Jesus, as the old cliche would go. And I'm looking forward to it. John, thank you so much for your call, brother. You're spot on with that. We need to keep praying. We need to be excited as Christians to see God's word, prophetic word, coming to fruition. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I haven't been calling in. A couple of months ago, 2.5 months ago, I fell and broke my hip. And,
Ooh, boy, sorry to hear that.
An ordeal. Yeah, but God's brought me through it, and I'm coming back just fine.
Amen. Well, when you get to be young people that you like you and I, it takes a little longer to heal, so I understand that.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody out there, if you're in your late 60s or more, be careful, because I was careless and I tripped on a cord, and that threw me down. But the reason I was calling in, I'm glad you repeated that prophecy about the Scud missile taking out the Dome of the Rock. I'd like to remind the listeners that over 2 years ago, you made that same prophecy. And I thought, no, that's pretty far-fetched. But the other night I was watching a television, and there is the Dome of the Rock lit up as like daylight by the exploding of those missiles. And I went, wow, Dr. Youngblood was right on.
Well, brother, I was sitting there watching a portion of that 300-plus missiles that were flown, transported out of, shot out of Iran that trying to hit Israel. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, just one. All we need is just one to be off course. So yeah. We need to keep praying that'll happen, Tom, because it's on the cusp of that. It's on the very doorpost of it, if you will.
Let me ask you a question on that. Once that thing is blown up, which it's only one more attack away, what will happen? Will the Jews say, look, this thing's blowed up, we're going to take over the land?
Absolutely. I don't think it'll take a New York second. Once that happens, the top of the mound is cleansed, the Temple Mount is cleared off. I don't think it'll take a New York second before they, and you know, New York second is about the same as a Florida second, but a New York second, it's going to take place. And when that happens, they'll be ready. The Temple Mount movement's ready today, ready at this moment, ready at the drop of a hat to start the process of getting ready to capture the Temple Mount and allow it to be used of God. Tom, we've got other listeners on the line. Our time is just about out. But, brother, it's good to hear from you. I'm thankful that you're up and about and better. Always good to hear your call. But keep looking up. Study Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through 22, and see what you find there. I find several things I'll talk about in just a moment. I'm an outline freak. I've outlined the 22 verses in about three portions. We'll look at them very quickly in a moment. I pray that it be encouraging and edifying for you and our other listeners. Thank you, Brother Tom, for your call. God bless you. Keep looking up. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over to the question or comment, please.
Before I go into question or comment, and I have a lot I can say on the subject, I'd like for you to give me your 3 points in your outline for this verses 1 through 22 and Numbers 19 so we get an idea, an overview of what you see in the future in the way of the red heifer and its impact on the last of the last days.
I'm glad you asked that question, man. First of all, we see the divine command. In Numbers chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and you and upon which never came a yoke." End quote. So we see, number one, Greg, it's a command from God that they follow through with this. And the purpose for that, not just the divine command, but we see the directive condition, the red heifer is to be perfect, without blemish, and the Jewish people in following that command, history past, history present, history future, as they want to reinstitute the temple services, they do not recognize that this is ultimately pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, without sin, without spot, without blemish, for the shed blood to be on Calvary's cross for the remission of man's sin. I get excited when I see what God said, the Jewish people doing it, blindly not realizing that it's speaking of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then we see the death commanded. That red heifer is to be taken outside the gates, outside of walls of Jerusalem, and to be slain, and to take the ashes and mix it with water. The water is to be used to cleanse the temple and cleanse the priest for them to be cleansed before God to carry out the temple ordinances and the temple ministry, if you will. Not realizing, they embrace that, but not recognizing that Jesus Christ was crucified outside the walls, outside the city. And so I find it interesting, exciting, and challenging to realize that what the Jewish people are pressing, pushing, and anxious for now is the fulfillment of what God's Word says was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. What say you?
I love the connecting of the dots, the type, the anti-type, the Old Testament prophecy and the fulfillment in the New Testament. And the Jewish people are still looking for the fulfillment of certain prophecies, including the coming of the Messiah, even though Jesus came and fulfilled all those prophecies of the Messiah. Over 300 in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled by his coming, his both his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he fulfilled. A human being cannot do those things, and he came at just the right time as well. He went to that cross at the time of Passover, and the sacrifice was necessary. The blood must be shed, must be spilled. Now, it's interesting because I've been looking a lot at the red heifer. Matter of fact, some folks will think I'm crazy. For weeks now, weeks and weeks, I've been waking up each morning, and among my normal routine, I want to know what's going on in Israel. So I type in Israel into Google, and I hit news, and I want to see what's going on with Israel because Israel is God's timepiece.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is God's timepiece. Now, you'll think I'm really nuts. I also want to know what's going on with the price of gold, silver, and Bitcoin, because that tells you how scared people are in the world. And by the way, the price of gold over the past 4 years has doubled. The price of Bitcoin is up thousands and thousands of percent in the past 4 years. And then I want to know lately the red heifer. What's going on with the red heifer? Because these folks, they've been trying for decades now. They've been waiting for a couple thousand years, but they've been trying for decades now to come up with a red heifer that they can then sacrifice, that they can burn that red heifer all the way down to ashes and sprinkle the ashes with, used to be the water from the Siloam, the pool of Siloam, the fountains of Siloam, I guess, but to blend it for the purification ceremony. And just like you were just saying, what's the purification for? It's for those priests to be able to go on that holy ground within the Holy of Holies to be able to present before God, to be able to go into his presence. And Jesus fulfilled that because it was his shed blood that then gave you and me and every believer the opportunity to step into his presence. So I just love the connecting of those dots. And I had no clue. You know, for many, many years, we've had these on-again, off-again levels of prohibitions against Jews being on the Temple Mount, and I thought that was much political, and it was mostly religious, because within the fundamentalist Jewish culture, they recognize that they've been impure. They've not had the purification rites and ceremonies for thousands of years, and these folks should not tread on the Temple Mount for fear of stepping on the place that used to be the Holy of Holies,
yes,
and being struck,
yes,
down by God. So literally, they know these things. And for any Jew out there, my Jewish friends, please call in if you can add some color to this for us, if you can add some details. What makes the Islamist, the fundamentalist Islamist, absolutely apoplectic? They know that this has to do with the coming Messiah. Well, he's already come, folks, and he's coming again. For the fundamentalist believer, we go that this is one of the things that could happen, may happen, likely will happen, because there's going to be a temple, because the sacrifice and oblation will end at that halfway point when the Antichrist goes in and commits,
yes,
that abomination that makes desolate on the altar. So we know that that's going to happen. We don't know exactly the timing, so they're concerned from that perspective. And then within Jewish, what they consider oral tradition, that a lot of it's been written down now, they say when that nine red heifers have been slain over all these years, and when the tenth red heifer is slain, then Messiah will come. So that's not Bible, folks. That's not Bible. If you're a Jewish person, Colin, you can straighten me out on exactly how far back this goes, but it is said within Jewish tradition, when the tenth red heifer is slain and burned, that will usher in Messiah. Now, it is so well known in the culture of Islamic culture, Arab culture, they know it so well that when those red heifers were shipped from Texas to Israel, it got them worked up over in that area. When they realized we're getting closer and closer to Passover, and it had already been stated that, hey, we're going to sacrifice, we're going to burn this red heifer on the Passover, many Islamists within that group, Hamas, you know, what does that mean, violence, within Hamas, funded by Iran, they use that as part of their justification for the,
yes,
slaughter of 1,200 folks. Jewish
Greg, we've got less than 10 seconds. Wrap us up. Challenge our listeners as we close this broadcast today.
Very well. Hebrews 9:13 says, "For the blood of bulls and goats and of the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to the serving of a living God."
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.